I've been waiting so long to make this episode and share this news with you that has been long and hard fought for. I don't know how else to explain it. It's been a long journey to get here to be able to be publicly sharing the fact that I am pregnant with a healthy baby. Trigger warning, this has been a long road. And it has included multiple miscarriages and losses. And today's episode is really going to be an exploration of this entire journey of all of the seasons that I've walked through to get to this moment where I'm able to comfortably and confidently share with the community that yes, there's a baby joining Growing Joy. Growing Joy is totally having a new definition in my life these days, coming June 2026. I'm so excited to share everything with you now that I feel safe too. So let's dive in.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Hello, plant friends. If you're new here, my name's Maria. I'm the host of this podcast. Normally, we talk about how to grow plants and use plants to grow joy in our lives by connecting to nature. But today's a very special episode, and it's an episode sharing with our community that I am pregnant. We're having a baby in June, baby boy coming in June. I'm so excited to be making this episode for you to fill you in. You know, for the last 8 years that I've had this podcast, you've gone through everything with me. You've gone through my multiple moves. You've gone through falling in love with plants. You've gone through my marriage. You've gone through my melanoma diagnosis. We've gone through so much together. And for my nervous system, I needed to keep my losses that I've experienced private, knowing that ultimately when I was in a healthy pregnancy that I would be sharing everything with you in hindsight. So I'm so excited to be here with you today. And I'm so excited to tell you all the things. So first off, we're having a baby. There's a baby in my belly. He's kicking right now. It's a boy. And his nickname is Polpettino in utero. Polpettino means little meatball in Italian. The joke between me and my husband is my husband has a legacy name. He's the fourth generation with his name. So Polpettino will take on my husband's name when he is out of utero. And it is a very Irish name. My husband's Billy Morrissey. He comes from an Irish-American heritage in Boston. And we're so excited to be continuing that lineage for him. But my running joke is, okay, Polpettino, you know, this baby is going to be Irish when he comes out of the womb. So he's going to be Italian when he's in the womb. So we're calling him Polpettino. And it's really become like such a sweet term of endearment. Our families have been getting us like meatball onesies and really fun stuff. So I'll be referring to baby boy as Polpettino in this episode. Wanted to give you some context so that you understand who I'm talking about. We're so excited. I'm so excited to be a boy mom. Please go to Instagram so you can see the gender reveal that we do this week. Billy got to do the gender reveal. There's a very sweet story about this gender reveal that I'll share on Instagram, but we'll share the video with you guys that we've been holding on to. And it's really just so sweet. And we're just so excited. We're so excited to be boy parents. I understand that with a lot of pregnancy announcements comes a lot of pain for people to witness these pregnancy announcements. And I have certainly been in the viewer's seat of seeing people announcing pregnancy announcements after just having been through a pregnancy loss, after having been through difficulties. And it's hard. Miscarriages, it's something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. And while I was going through them privately, which I needed to go through privately for my nervous system, I was not prepared to share positively. And I think, you know, as a content creator, it's our responsibility to be able to hold our own self and our own nervous system as we share grief. I didn't want to make a podcast about miscarriage, just like weeping through the entire thing. I wanted to have had time and perspective and reflection in order to make it mean something for our audience, knowing that I'm sure we have many listeners that have been in that boat. And I'm so sorry if you have experienced loss, if you are experiencing loss. I sit with you in that and have a lot of feelings and a lot of thoughts about that. I really wanted to have this episode be a walk through the seasons of this pregnancy journey and also a walk through all of the nature-based metaphors that I clung to with white knuckles throughout my losses, throughout the waiting period, throughout the, oh my gosh, is this ever going to happen for me? Is this ever going to be real? Nature and my connection with plants really helped me move through the dark parts of this pregnancy journey and the positive parts, right? So that's kind of what this episode is going to be about. Just gabbing. It's just you and me. I've been wanting to tell my friends about this 2-year journey that I've been going through, you know, behind the scenes. Seasons is something we're going to talk about a lot. But one of the first kind of metaphors I want to talk about is the micro seasons within a season. There are like micro seasons within the winter, right? There's the going into the winter. There's the darkest day of winter, right? The winter solstice. Winter solstice. And then there's the warming before spring when you're still in winter, but you feel the percolation, you feel the warmth, you feel the melting of the frozenness. And I really feel like the last couple of months for me has been this melting of the frozenness, coming to terms, being ready to share publicly, being ready to actually experience this pregnancy. And in large part for me, this episode is exposure therapy to allowing myself to feel hopeful publicly and to stand in this pregnancy publicly. Because I have had so much fear after loss of this being another loss. I've had so much fear around hoping that this baby might stick and this baby might hang around. I've been very disembodied this pregnancy. I've been very numb. And as we've rounded the corner of 20, 21 weeks, I think I'll be in my mid-20s by the time this episode comes out. Only recently in the last couple of weeks have I even personally allowed myself to think, my goodness, there's a baby in me. Like, this is happening. And that's been a big stretch for myself personally. And so making this episode is kind of an exposure therapy moment of, okay, I've done the work personally, I've gotten there, and now I'm doing the work with you and I'm sharing with you and I'm celebrating with you and bringing you in behind the scenes, which has been terrifying for me for the last 2 years. So I appreciate you hanging in there with me. I appreciate you celebrating with me. I appreciate you going through the entire spectrum of feelings. And with that said, you know, I know that I'm not unique. I know that so many people have gone through loss, whether that it's miscarriage, whether it's loss of parents, whether it's a winter of another kind, right? And so what I would love is to hear from you. In the show notes today, there's going to be a link to a submission form that you can submit anonymously or with your name about winters that you've experienced. And I think the sharing of our collective winters and how we've processed them is so powerful. And I would love to hear your stories and potentially share them in future episodes around grief and how we heal and what we learn from it. Because from where I'm sitting, grief has been my greatest teacher. And it's also been my greatest portal door to unlocking levels of joy that I didn't know were possible. I have an amazing teacher in my embodiment practice called Ishtara who says, you can only experience this capacity for joy as you can experience your capacity for grief. So the lower you can go, the higher you can soar. And I have very much felt that. The more I have been able to hold my grief, the more I've been able to hold my joy and excitement. And I'm curious if that's something that you have also experienced, and I'd love to sit with you in that. So you can go to the show notes and click that link and share with me if you'd like. Okay, let's begin. Now, before I get into this timeline, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to be really real with you about my experience in all three of my pregnancies, the two losses and the one that I'm currently in now, and how I actually felt. Because something that has been so hard for me to experience on the internet is how glorified pregnancy is, how much pressure there is for women from the minute they feel pregnant to feel so excited and have nothing but excitement and joy and glowing. There is such pressure for women to move through pregnancy so perfectly and so joyfully. And yet, from where I'm sitting, what I have experienced is pregnancy comes with a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of difficulty. For me personally, a lot of loss. And it has been so hard to just watch pregnancy through the eyes of social media. So I'm giving it to you straight here as we go through the timeline of my pregnancies and where we are today. Because I just think it's important to be real with one another. And even how like women gaslight each other a little bit with pregnancy. So with that, let's get into it. I don't want to spend too much time on my loss, but I do want to fill you guys in. Because the crazy part is, as I was going through all of this, I was still creating, you know, weekly podcasts and content. And you have to just, as an entrepreneur, if you're going through grief, you still got to show up to work because you're the only one that'll do it. So we first got pregnant in the fall of 2023. I was 34, so we thought that it was going to take a while for us to get pregnant, and it did not. We got pregnant like the first or second month that we were trying. And because of that, I would say we were excited, but we weren't exactly prepared, particularly me. I remember the majority of that pregnancy being very scary for me. I remember being so fearful and anxious about how life was going to change. I'm an entrepreneur. And from when I was pregnant, I just remember being like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to run my business and have a baby? How do I take maternity leave? I had speaking engagements that I had to, you know, that would have had to been canceled because they were on or around my delivery date. Like, you can't travel when you're pregnant. What if I'm sick? Like, there were just so many things that I, as an entrepreneur, that I hadn't considered before that first pregnancy. So there was a lot of time spent stressed. We also lived in the woods in the Catskills, and we loved that romantic time for us, like being nestled in 5 acres and cooped up. But like, the closest OBGYN was 40 minutes away for us. It was very hard to get care where we lived, which also was very stressful. So with that first pregnancy, we decided very quickly that we were going to move. And within the span of like 6 weeks, we were also headed to Florida. My parents live in Florida, and we were headed to Florida to spend the holidays with my family. And we very quickly made the decision that we were going to move to Florida so that I could be close to my family and have support, and also just like better access to doctors. So that first pregnancy was just a total whirlwind. It felt like we were just in a hurricane, getting like just thrown, like, or a tornado. Like, we were just getting like spun around. I was figuring out how to manage the business. We were figuring out as a family where we were going to move. I had to establish care and find a doctor in Florida. We were looking at apartments, and we found an apartment, and we were just about to sign a lease. And as I was establishing care at an OBGYN in Florida, we had our first scan, and we had what's called a missed miscarriage, which is when your body still thinks that you're pregnant, but the baby has stopped growing. And that was 2 days before Christmas. And Christmas is a big deal in my family. My sister was also pregnant at that time. So I ended up miscarrying 2 days before Christmas, and it was the worst Christmas ever. I'm thankful that at this point I can talk about it without crying. That's taken me like 2 years of therapy, but that was a very shocking. We were not prepared. We didn't even think miscarriage was a possibility for us. We assumed the pregnancy was going to be viable, and we were just extremely naive in the whole experience. And it was brutal. It was really hard for both of us. And so we decided not to sign the lease in Florida and moved back to the Catskills, and just went through a season of grief and healing. Now, when I think about that first pregnancy and the nature metaphors, I think about how trees fall in the forest.
When a tree falls in the forest, the tree returns to the earth. It breaks down and turns into nutrients and really energy that then gets put back into the earth and then absorbed by the root systems of all of the trees around it, and thus like transmutes its energy into life force for the other trees and the other plants in the forest. So even though that tree has fallen and is no longer with us, it leaves an impact greater than its own self in its generosity and contribution to the forest as it returns.
And so although that tree dies and falls, it's a vital, important part of the ecosystem of the forest in terms of returning to the soil and actually helping the plants around it grow. And that's what we really felt our first baby was for us. It was this awakening. It was this wake-up call. It was this, okay, if this is what you want, what changes do you have to make in your life in order to achieve them? And I'm really proud of me and Billy. In our marriage, when you take these vows in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, miscarriage is really hard for a couple to go through. And I'm so thankful that I had such a supportive partner, and how we just kept turning towards each other and moving through that grief together, and how we really used that first loss as a wake-up call to get our act together so that with the next pregnancy, we felt more settled and we felt ready and we felt excited and not scared. And we ended up staying in the Catskills almost for another year. And then, like you all know, Billy ended up getting a job that moved us down to Florida, and we relocated to Florida and we got settled in Florida. And then we got pregnant and get in Florida. And the second pregnancy really felt like a beautiful manifestation of everything that we had worked for.
This episode of Growing Joy with Plants is brought to you by Manicora Honey, the richest, creamiest, most delicious honey I have ever had. It's why I've been talking about this product on my podcast for like 2 years now. If you've been listening, you know that I love Manicora Honey in my coffee every morning. I use it as a dupe for that brown sugar shaken espresso. And sometimes, often in the afternoon, I'll pair it with some cheese or an apple as a snack. When I'm saying honey, you might be rolling your eyes being like, Maria, what the heck? You're picturing some sort of like honey bear shaped honey bottle at the supermarket. That's not what this is. It's single origin honey. And Manicora honey is actually honey that's come from bees that gather nectar at the Manuka tree, which is packed with bioactives that give this honey 3 times more antioxidants and prebiotics than regular honey. It is totally a game changer. And all you need is 1 heaped teaspoon each morning to get the most out of all of those amazing bioactives. Plus, it tastes like caramel. It's so freaking good. It doesn't taste like any other honey you've tried. And now, if you want to try Manicora honey, it's never been easier. All you got to do is head to manicora.com/bloom to save up to 31% plus $25 worth of free gifts with the starter kit. It comes with the MGO 850 plus Manuka honey jar, honey travel sticks, which are great. I take them on like long weekends, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. So that's manucora.com/bloom to save 31% plus $25 worth of free gifts. manucora.com/bloom.
A little later in this episode, you're going to hear me talk about how my sponsor partners and how my business partners supported me through my losses and how blown away I was by several different partners of mine who really dug in with me, supported me through my losses, understood that I was an entrepreneur and running this business and moving through grief, and said, how can they help? What do you need? No problem if you miss this deadline. Being there. Espoma Organic has an ad slot in this episode. They've been a sponsor of mine for the last 5 years, but I need to take their ad time today to share about the integrity of this company and the way they partner with creators. They've been one of my longest partners, and they truly view themselves as a partner with me and not a sponsor. When my wedding got postponed, Espoma sent me little ornaments that like were very funny about trying to have a 2020 wedding. When I got engaged, they sent me an engagement gift. If you're an OG on the podcast, you'll all remember when I wanted to take Limey, my lime tree, and move him from New York to Florida, they offered to buy Limey a seat on the airplane so that I could get from New York to Florida, and offered to pay for the whole thing because they knew how important that lime tree was to me. And every step of the way through my losses, they have been there for me. Obviously, they are a fabulous company. They make incredible bagged potting mixes, soil amendments, composts, indoor products, outdoor products. I love their houseplant fertilizer. All my houseplants are in their potting mix. You all know this. They've had a million ads on the podcast. But in this ad, I really just want to tell you how good the people are that run this company are, and that they really walk the walk as partners, and they really walk the walk of their brand identity and their values of being a family-owned, family-run company. So with that being said, support them. Use their products in your gardens. You're not going to be disappointed because they're incredible. And you can learn more about all of their indoor and outdoor products at Espoma.com, or you can go to my Amazon storefront where I have my curated list of Espoma favorites.
We had moved. We had found the home. We had found the care. I was established. We were ready. We were totally ready for the second baby. And sadly, I miscarried at about 7 weeks. My first miscarriage was at 10 weeks, and my second one was at 7 weeks. It was right after I spent the week at Northwest Flower and Garden Show in Seattle. I was actually pregnant when I was there, came back, sadly lost the baby. And that second loss was hard because it felt so unfair. It felt like we had done the work. We were ready. You know, we kind of we received the assignment from the universe to prepare ourselves, and we prepared ourselves, and yet still it was taken away from us. And that miscarriage was physically more difficult for me as well. And it just felt so senseless and so cruel and so unfair, and really did a doozy on me mentally in terms of my ability to believe in my ability to be pregnant, my ability to become a mom, in our ability to have the family that we wanted. And I went into a very dark place. And, you know, that second loss still doesn't make sense to me. But the nature metaphor that really helped me there is, in nature, like, not all the seeds germinate. We don't get 100% germination percentage. I thought about the ducks, you know, the ducklings that were outside. And a mom starts with 22 ducklings and she ends with 8 ducklings. You know, nature is brutal. Nature isn't perfect. Nature isn't this like, oh, it's natural. And if I have a natural pregnancy and a natural birth, it's so easy. No, nature sucks sometimes. Nature is hard. Nature is death as much as it is life. Seeds don't germinate. Seedlings don't make it. Transplants don't make it. Plants grow completely to their maturity and then die for no reason. And sometimes it doesn't have to make sense. Sometimes it just sucks. It's just nature. And that was really, I was at a loss, but that was really one of the ways I was able to just be like, damn, this sucks. But like, this is part of life. At that time, I decided also, though, that I didn't have the capacity to do this alone anymore and to continue trying naturally. And that's when Billy and I decided to move forward with IVF. So Pulpitino is an IVF baby. We're so thankful to the amazing doctors at IVF Florida, Dr. G, shout out, and Sam, who ushered us through the IVF process with so much love and care and being so trauma informed. And we learned a lot through that process. So at this point, if you have anyone in your life who has ever miscarried or is struggling to get pregnant, please listen to this portion of the podcast and share it, because I had no idea I was living with this thing that was affecting my fertility. And once we got rid of it, I got pregnant. So when we were doing IVF, my doctor was extremely thorough and did tests that don't normally get done when you go into a IVF clinic to like get, you do like a full blood workup and you get a bunch of tests done. He decided to do another test called a uterine biopsy for me. It's painful. Once again, like, a theme that I have with pregnancy here is men could never. Women are so strong. If men had to go through what women had to go through to get pregnant, there would be so many different laws around pregnancy, and we would get first trimester leave, and there would be way more advancements in pain management. So this uterine biopsy, you have to go in with no pain management. They just like take a biopsy of your uterus. It was crazy. But anyway, the result of the uterine biopsy came back that I had an infection called endometritis, which is different than endometriosis. Endometritis is an infection that you can get in your uterus from having an IUD removed or having an IUD in general or miscarrying. And you have no symptoms and it causes infertility. And I had it. So I don't know if I got endometritis when I had an IUD removed or in my first miscarriage or in my second miscarriage, but I had endometritis, this unseen infection in my uterus. And even though we were very fortunate that we got embryos and IVF, they could have transferred and I could have lost them because I had this infection that we didn't know about. And so to treat endometritis, it's extremely simple. It's like 2 weeks of antibiotics and then you don't have it. But because a lot of doctors don't test for it, because this uterine biopsy is painful and I think they don't want to force women to get it unnecessarily, I have a feeling there are a lot of women living with endometritis and struggling with fertility with no answers. So I have told this to every woman in my personal circle and told every woman in my personal circle to tell every woman in their personal circle. And between the time I found out I had endometritis, which is about 6 months ago, to now, two women in my life have found out that they have endometritis and were able to get it resolved as they were struggling to get pregnant or having miscarriages. So I share this just in a very clinical way to just let this piece of data be known to the world. If you know someone struggling, please share that they might want to get tested for endometritis, because that ended up what was being the issue for me. And I'm so thankful my doctor was thorough enough to have me do that test so that I could be really set up for a successful IVF transfer. And then we were very fortunate that Pulpitino was our first IVF transfer. We ended up having our IVF transfer on our wedding anniversary, which was a total fluke. We did not try and plan it that way. And we've just been very fortunate of having a really beautiful IVF experience. And I think in part, that's who we did IVF with. In part, I'm type A and, you know, I'm really good at following instructions. So if the doctor tells me to give myself a billion shots, I'll do it. IVF was really a season in itself in terms of preparing for the pregnancy, like not even being pregnant, but going through IVF, going through the medicines and the egg retrieval and the embryos. It's a season of patience and waiting. It's like early spring. Those seeds have been planted. There's all sorts of stuff germinating under the surface, but you have not seen that sprout yet. You have not seen that, you know, heartbeat yet. The experience of the egg retrieval is leading up to the surgery and then seeing how many eggs you get and then having them mature, like, and just the patience of having to like wait for these life-changing results every single day and the stakes being so high if you get the embryos and then you have to wait for the genetic testing. It's just like, I'm planting these seeds and I am just waiting for a sign. I am waiting for a sign that they are going to break through the earth and grow. And then you go into your IVF transfer, which is another period of waiting. You have to wait 10 days between the transfer and the blood test to know if you're pregnant. Those were probably the most excruciating 10 days of my life. And I just kept saying, okay, the seeds, they're doing the work. The seeds do the work underground before they pop up. You got to trust that the seeds are doing the work. And we were just so lucky. This third pregnancy, I have been too scared to experience any of it, really. And it's funny, you know, in my first two pregnancies, I recorded me telling Billy I'm pregnant in like really cute ways. And I have these videos of me telling Billy I'm pregnant that never resulted in a full term pregnancy. And with IVF, like there was no cute video. There was like me peeing on a stick and seeing it and running into the bedroom, you know, in my robe, just like screaming that it worked. The first trimester has been hard. It's been very scary for me to attach to anything about the pregnancy, the positive pregnancy test, the 6 week ultrasound, the 8 week ultrasound, the 10 week ultrasound, the 12 weeks. Every week it was holding my breath. I would lose sleep before the ultrasounds. And then I would have the ultrasounds and we would see a heartbeat and it would be amazing. And I would feel good for a couple of days. And then I would be like eclipsed by anxiety again. And I just want to normalize that. I want to normalize that pregnancy can be scary. And when you're pregnant after loss, it is a very complicated experience. You are so hopeful. I'll start crying just thinking about it. Like you want it so bad. You want it so bad that you'll overcome your anxiety and trauma of loss to try again. Women who keep trying after loss are the most resilient women I've ever met. It's so scary. And you're so hopeful this is going to be the time that works. And you're so scared to hope again because you don't want to be disappointed again. And that was really a cycle that I was in that I'm so happy to be breaking now as I share and celebrate our news with you. But if you're going through that, I see you and I'm sorry and you're doing great. And you just have to keep showing up. I will also say I watched a lot of TV. I binged entire series of shows during my IVF journey because I just needed to disappear into another world and not be in my world. If you need TV recommendations, please let me know because I've watched everything, what it feels like in the last 12 weeks. And then I also had I was very sick in my pregnancy, which is great because, you know, usually when you're sick, it means it's a very strong pregnancy because there's a lot of hormones going on. But even with my history of loss, it was really interesting because I'll never forget when I was going through my losses and when I was going through the beginning of IVF, thinking and like holding the dream, like, I can't wait to be hugging the toilet. Like, I cannot wait to be so sick in pregnancy. Like, I can't wait. I pray that I get there, that I'm puking in the toilet. And then I got there. I really got what I wished for. But I will say the perspective of having the losses has made, even though my first trimester has been very hard, I've been very sick. I lost weight in my first trimester instead of gaining weight. It's really given me that perspective of like, as I'm, you know, puking at 10 o'clock at night and Billy's holding my hair back, I'm thinking, I prayed for this. It's okay. I prayed for it. I asked for it. Here we are. So I will also say, you know, the perspective and the gratitude that comes along with having a long journey to your pregnancy has been really eye-opening and amazing. I will also say, though, if you notice that I have not been as present on social media since the fall, it's because I've been so sick. And That is another really interesting thing. I think I want to do a separate episode on entrepreneurship and pregnancy, because I was so sick that it was really hard for me to like get out of bed. It was hard for me to work. It was really hard for me to film. There were multiple interviews that I did for the podcast that I would do the interview and then I would puke right after. There were interviews that I had to cancel and reschedule because I wasn't feeling well. And I'm a content creator, so I have to be on camera. And there were frankly like deadlines that I missed with partners because I couldn't film. And I'm so thankful to my partners who have been so supportive and receptive and amazing with me about supporting me through this journey. Like you guys, the sponsors of this podcast are humans first, and they've just been amazing as I've had to email them saying, hey, listen, I need an extra week for this deliverable. This needs to happen. That needs to happen. Like they have been along for the journey with me, as many of our sponsors have been with me for many years, and they've known about my losses, as well as when I've had my losses, I've also needed some time to recoup. So I just feel so thankful for my sponsor partners who have been so incredible. So please support them when and if you can. There was also definitely like a loss of identity for a period of time in that first trimester, because being sick, being nauseous from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep at night for 3 months can really mess with your personality and your sense of self. I felt like I really lost myself. I normally feel like a very magical person, and I wasn't feeling very magical. I was feeling really rough. And I'm so thankful that those feelings have lifted. And my heart goes out to women who are pregnant, making it through, being sick, doing all the things. Like once again, men could never do this. And now winter has thawed and we are in spring. And we've got a baby. And, you know, my sister has been the most supportive sister. And she's like, okay, you know, when you're ready, we can start talking about your baby shower. When you're ready, we can start talking about your registry. When you're ready. And I'm finally ready. And I'm finally letting us plan for the future and plan the baby shower and plan the nursery and getting ready to welcome this little guy to the world. And I feel so lucky that he has the best dad ever. Billy has been the most incredible partner I could have ever dreamed of in this whole process. And he has the most amazing family that he's being born into on both sides, Billy's family and my family. Like they've been so supportive throughout this journey that we've been on, as although I haven't been sharing publicly, I've been leaning on my inner circle a lot. And I just feel so lucky to be so supported. And I also know that Pulpitino is going to be so excited to be born into a beautiful community of plant people. And growing joy does mean something different to me now, because just like I talk about, you know, in my book, I have this line that like joy isn't always present. It ebbs and it flows, it grows and it dies back. And how we have to work to cultivate joy in our life through connecting with nature. I've really had to work to grow joy and to grow this baby and to be comfortable being joyful in my pregnancy. I feel like I'm so lucky to bring him into this brand that we've built and to just explore what growing joy means in another capacity. And I just have visions of holding nature retreats in the future and like having Pulpitino on my hip and having like members of our community all be there. I can just see it all. And I don't know, we're all just very excited and it feels so exciting. It just, it's really been a very long road and it feels so exciting to just be here and be able to share it with you and celebrate and fight for my joy and fight for my celebration of this pregnancy. I told myself I wouldn't cry. I guess I am pregnant though. I do have more hormones. So once again, I do want to do another episode on grief and loss and wintering. So if you have a story about a winter that you've gone through, like please click the link in the show notes and share. I'd love to hear from you. And I want to leave us just with a couple of other like high level nature metaphors that I've really been thinking about as I've moved through this journey. Number one is like the macro and the micro of seasons. In 1 year, we have four seasons, yes. And you can go through your winter and your spring and your summer and your fall. And that's one turn of the wheel. That's one turn of the seasons. But on a micro level, within each season, there are seasons within them. Everybody take a shot every time I say the word season. But within that winter, it's the darkening of the winter and the lightening of the winter and the darkest moment of the winter. And that in itself is a cycle. Same in every single other season. Like the micro of that, the annual, obviously, the normal one, the normal season that we all know. And then the macro of that, it's like, I think about 2 years ago, 2 days before Christmas was the worst day of my life. And that Christmas season was the worst season of my life. And the next year, it was still really hard. I wasn't pregnant. I had been trying. It was Christmas. I had so much PTSD. We were very much still mourning the loss of our first baby. And Christmas carols and Christmas, like, it was just a trigger fest for me. It was really hard. And then this Christmas, I was pregnant and hopeful. And I had already been 12 weeks pregnant. And there was like hope and a baby in my belly. And then next Christmas, God willing, I will have a baby on my hip for Christmas. And I think if you're in a dark moment of winter, zooming out and understanding the time that this takes, you know, 4 years by next year, by that next Christmas that I'm hoping that I'm holding this baby, like that's four Christmases, 4 years, four turning of the cycles in order to get the result that I had been hoping for. Like that is something that's really rooting into my body and my understanding of seasons in a different capacity also, that like we're always changing and evolving. And yet like we always return to this moment of the year. Every year. And it is this beautiful moment of reflection of like, wow, how have I changed? How have I not changed? Does that make sense? And we have to allow the time, the space, the natural evolution of things to unfold so that we can be ready. And I will say, I believe in timing. I believe that everything happens for a reason. And in the last 2 years, I have had to say out loud to myself, I am someone who says, I believe everything happens for a reason. And therefore, even though none of this makes sense to me, I have to hold the belief. I have to keep knowing that this will make sense to me in the future. And even sitting in the future of that person's reality now, a lot of it makes sense. And I know that I don't know shit. And in the future, even more of it will make sense. So plant friends, get ready for a lot of pregnancy content on Instagram. I've been recording and saving things so that I might be able to share them in the future. Like I said, we're going to share our gender reveal and a lot of other great content. And I would like to make another, like I said, I would like to make an episode specifically on grief for those who have gone through this. Please reach out and share your stories with me if you feel so inclined. I would love to sit with you in them. And I would love to, and also I would love to start celebrating with you guys. Thank you for being along for the ride. I'm so excited to see what this year brings. We also bought a house and are renovating an entire house right before Pulpitino arrives. So like that'll be interesting. I would say if you've never followed me on social, now is the time because we're going to be doing a lot in the next couple of months. And also I'll do my best to keep you posted here on the podcast as well in longer form content. I definitely want to do an episode on biophilic design for my house too. But anyway, thank you for being here. And I'm excited to explore a whole new way to grow joy in 2026.
Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review. Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.